Parshas and Sofer Vayelech are known as the Parshas of Tshuva. But after Toshuv Ushmat B'Koyel Hashem, there's many mentions of Tshuva. Shavtol Hashem Alekechel, come back to Rebbeinu Shleilom. The Shainas of B'Shav Hashem Alekechel Shva Oschel V'Rachmechel Kosh Bochu, reciprocating Tshuva. L'Rechoykehi, referring to Tshuva. And therefore I'd like to focus on something that's really, I believe everyone is challenged by that, and it's something that I think with a little more clarity can make an incredible difference to the Amadin. The Fosuk says, now we all daven Rosh Hashanah. So, Chayin Lachaim, Lachofitz Pachaim, Kosvedim Asefa Chayim, Manchalikim Chayim. It's Chayim, Chayim, Chayim. All the way through. Micha Moicha Avarachim, Zoichi Yisuv Lachaim Barachamim. It's Chayim. And we ask for Chayim. And it's a correct thing. In the Parsha Lamed, in Posuk Yutes, in Parsha Sovim, it says, Haidoisi Bechem Hayoim, I give witness to you today, so Shvayim Ves Ored. Chayim Vahamoves Nosat Lefnecha, given you today. Chayim and Moves, life and death. Nosati lefanecha, given to you. Habrocha v'aklala, brocha and klala. Ubacharta b'chaim. And you should choose life, laman tichye ato bezarecho, in order that you and your children should live. So Yitzchok Palaza asks a very, very strong question. It almost sounds ridiculous.
We need paper? No?
Okay, so Yisrael Blaser asks, what kind of thing is this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you Chaim v'moves. The Medrash says Chaim v'moves. Yochel, I should choose whatever I want. Perhaps on a pasuk, Hashem has given you two paths. I can either choose a path of life or a path of death. Says a pasuk, no. I tell you, you should choose life. Which person doesn't want to choose life? Unless they're incredibly depressed. What person doesn't want to choose life? Of course you choose life. Not only that, the apostle says, Nosati lefanechel. Nosati means a nesina. Nesina means to give something of value to somebody else. A nesina pochus meshova pruta. It's not called as if you're giving somebody something unless it's worth a shova pruta. So Kosh Baruch Hu is giving Nasati lefanecha hayim, Hashem is giving you Brocha v'klala. What? Klala is something that is valuable. Nasati means I gave you something of value. Klala is it totally with no value. What value do you have from it?
You said last week what the value of the klala is, what it brings you.
Correct. This week is by no means... It's basing it on itself, continuation from last week. So he says like this. He says, Becharta Bechai means a choice. A choice. Normally, a choice has to be something that is similar. You can choose vanilla ice cream over chocolate ice cream. You can choose this car over that car. You can choose learning this Masechta or that Masechta. But when a person has a choice between a glass of very expensive Chateauneuf wine and poison, it's not a choice. He knows very well that one's going to give him pleasure, one's going to give him incredible pain. And for what choice is it? Choose this one. It's not a choice. It's not even a choice means you have various things in the same level, and it's up to you to make the decision which one to identify as being best for you and to make that as your choice. But if you don't have a choice, if something's so clear and evident that it's bad for you, once something is so good for you, what choice is over there? Says of Yisrael Plaza, from all these questions, it's very evident that ultimately it is not so clear. Chaim and Moves, Brocha and Klola, the differences between them are very, very blurred. Of course, a person has a natural tendency to run after life. A person wants to live. A person wants to get bracha. And a person does not want to die. A person does not want klala. But if a person is a maimin, if a person knows that a mitzvah creates life and creates bracha, and the klala and death is a direct outcome of chet, a person would not have bechira. There's no way a person would have any choice in life, and therefore ultimately there'd be no point living. Life is all about making choices. Choices are based on a perception that the differences between chet and mitzvah, the differences between what we know as bracha and klala, are not very clear. A person can see a bracha and see that as a klala. A person can see a klala and see that as a bracha. A person can see a mitzvah, and it could be something within an avera, and avera can be a mitzvah. And it could be a situation where the avera looks incredibly wonderful, which is really moves and really klala, and the bracha looks terrible. Getting up in bed in the morning, in a cold morning, looks terrible. But ultimately, there's bracha and there's klala. There's chaim and there's moves. Says the Torah, says, ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, please, Klal Yisrael, I beg of you. Things aren't clear. And there's a bechira. And you know what? And there's even a situation where nasati lefanecho, it looks as if I'm giving you a wonderful thing, giving you a klala. You can look at klala as a fantastic opportunity. Ah, this aveira looks so fantastic. But at the end of the day, v'bacharta b'chaim, you have it within every single one of you to get that identity, to identify the right choice, to come out with chaim, to come out with the right path. However delicious and however tasty that aveira may be, ultimately a person has it within them, v'bacharta b'chaim, to choose life. That's what the Torah is saying. Chaim and Moves, bracha and klala, are very, very unclear. It's very, very, the klala is overblown, looking very fantastic, and the bracha looks very subdued. But that ultimately a person has a bechara to bechaim, a person has within him to choose life. I'd like to focus on this nakuda. Of course, Baruch Hashem, most people are not looking for avirus. We're not looking for avirus. Not going down the street, you had two choice of restaurants, of one selling a lobster, one selling mahadrin steak, that you dafka go for that. Chalila, we're not talking about people who are focusing their life on gashmius to the extent that they will choose deliberately over ruchnius. That's not something that's usual. But what is usual, and what does get to us, is something that Sephana points out. The Sephana says, in a perik lamed posuk aleph and posuk beis, read it as a foreigner. V'shavto ad Hashem alikecho, you should come back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. U'shamato b'koiloi, and you should listen to His voice. K'choil asher anoichi mitzavcho hayoim, everything that you hear today. So obviously there's a double lashon of it. V'shavto Hashem alikecho, you should come back and you should listen to His voice. What does that mean? So he says, for shavta levavecho, for shavta ad Hashem alikecho, v'ashevoise levavecho, he says, hispoinein b'chelkei hasoise, look into the chelkei hasoise, the things that are hidden, uteshivim el levavecho, and bring them back, bring your heart back, yachdov lahavchin ha'emes min hasheker, to identify the truth from the sheker, ubezer takir, and by looking into the hidden parts of your soul, you'll be able to identify kamo rechakto min hakelis ale, how far you've distanced yourself from Rabbeinu Shalom, bedeos, in your opinions, ubamin hogim, asheloik ketirosoi, and your ways that are not according to the Torah. So what the pasuk says over here, vashavoisa el levavecho, is referring to parts that are deep down, that are hidden inside you, that you have to identify with. What does that mean? So Chenechenu Levowitz says like this. He says that there are certain hidden aspects that causes us to see things in a way that blur our vision. that we believe that what we're doing is correct, but if we look into our motive, we find that there is a nagia, there is a something that's pushing us in the wrong way, and that is motivating us to do bad when we collect and we say that's actually a mitzvah. In other words, we've got to look into ourselves and really identify what we're doing. Is it really Ratzon Hashem? Or is it what we want, and therefore we are using a heksher to say this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? There's people today, Rachman and Itzlan, let's take an extreme, that honestly believe, that going to Iran and kissing the president of Iran at a convention of Holocaust denial, just in order to give credence to him, in order to destroy the Zionist state, is a mitzvah. These people are going on Shabbos with the Shabbos clothes, they're keeping Kalis Kachamuras in the Hilchot Shabbos, and they believe that being Mechanef, this Rosh Marusha wants to annihilate Klal Yisrael, is a mitzvah. And the more you beat them for it, and the more you hate them for it, Gamzeh Nichnas Kal V'Chaymeh, that's also involved, that it just shows what Mesiras Nefesh they have. These people are misdirected. Why is it? Why are they doing it? Let's look down. Maybe there's an element there of attention. Maybe they're lacking cobbled for where they're coming from. Maybe they're just misdirected. The Yetzer Hara telling them the crazy stuff. Who knows? But one's got to look into oneself, because otherwise what one sees as a fantastic mitzvah and the serious nefesh and you're willing to die for it is in fact an incredibly terrible avera. And therefore deep within us is the ability to look into ourselves and identify. On Yom Kippur we say Al-Chet. Al-Chet shechaton lefnech b'yoidim uvelo yoidim. On things we know and things we don't know. So we think to ourselves that yoidim is 95% of what we've got to do tshuva on. Ubelo yoidim, and those things that we don't know about, is another 5%. It's not true. It's not true. Yoidim are those things that we do know about. We know for sure we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. Fine, that's yoidim. We know doing the wrong thing, we do it. How many things do we do during the day which is below yoidim, that we don't know why we're doing it, and we think it's okay, we justify ourselves? People come during davening, ask you for money. We don't give them money. Why? Because of chutzpah, middle of davening. Is that really why you're not giving them money? Or is it because you don't have the full amount of avas Yisrael? Or is it because you believe they should go and get themselves a job? Or whatever it is. So fine, identify where that source is coming from. Speak to yourself. Look into the darkest corners of yourself. Realize why it is. Don't just, justify. Davening is not called based on Medrash, Chutzpah. No, maybe it is. I don't know, I'm not a Poisuk. Maybe it's not right for them to do that. But is that why you're not giving it to them? Look into the Bala Yodim. The Bala Yodim will give us the ability of Ashavoy Salavechel to come back to Rabbeinu Shalom fully. Look into the Negis. Moshe Rabbeinu, in this week's parasha, there are two instances over here that show how important it is to look into Negis, and how important it is to make sure that even though something good can come out of something, it is not that the means are justified. The ends do not justify the means. It is an incredible, incredible medrash. You have a look in the posuk over here. An unbelievable medrash. Lamed Aleph, posuk Yud Dalet. Vayoyma Hashem el Moshe. Lamed Aleph, posuk Yud Dalet. Vayoyma Hashem el Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hein korvo yomecho lomus. The time has come for you to die. Kura es Yoshua, kol Yoshua. And stand in the oil moed, and I will warn him, according to Rashi. What is going on over here? Call Yeshua to come to the oil moed, and the Amud Ha'onon stood in the opening of the oil. And Hashem said to Moshe, Hincha Shoichim Amasecho. Yeah, you're going to die. What's going on over here? Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hein korv v'yemecha lomus. You're going to die. 2 seconds later, Hincha Shoichim Amasecha, you're going to die. Don't rub it in. Moshe Rabbeinu knows you're going to die. Yeah? What's this idea of bringing Yeshua, standing in the oil moed? What's going on? Listen to this unbelievable medrash. Oma Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Moshe said in front of Rabbeinu Shalom, Yitel Yeshua Erki Sheli Ve'Eheichai. Rabbeinu Shalom, which means as follows. Rabbeinu Shalom, I know that Yeshua's time has come to rule. And there's a very well-known principle, and the Gemara brings it in Tainis, Ein Malchus Negas B'Chaverta Afilu K'malei Nima. Yeah, that if a Malchus, if a person is supposed to be king, then no other king can step on his feet. His Malchus will end exactly, and a new Malchus will begin. So Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm fully aware, fully understand that Yeshua's time is now to rule. And therefore, his time to rule, to shine, is his. Fine, granted, give it to him. Therefore, ask of you, Rabbeinu Shalom, one thing. Make me no longer a king. Make me into a poshuta person. Make me into a simple person. Make me a normal one of Klal Yisrael. Let Yeshua reign, but let me live. Let me go into Eretz Yisrael. Let me enjoy the mitzvahs. Let me be mekayem the mitzvahs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said back to him, Asei loy kederach sho oisa lecho. Do to him like he did to you. Nichnasu lo'oil moyed yorad amud ha'onan ve'hifsik b'neim. What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the bakosh of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said to Moshe, you do with Yeshua like Yeshua did with you. What does that mean? So this explains the Medrash. They both went to the oil moyed, and the Shechina came down and spoke only to Yeshua. The Shechina went down and spoke only to Yeshua. When the Amud HaOnah went up, Moshe Rabbeinu did like Yeshua did to him. And he went to Yeshua and said to Yeshua, Yeshua, tell me, what is it that the Shechina said to you? So Yeshua said to him, it's private. What it means is, the Shechina said to him deliberately, say to Moshe Rabbeinu, I can't tell you. That was the Shechina said to him. Say to Moshe Rabbeinu, I can't tell you. But I see shot in that moment, Tzak Moshe va'omar. Moshe Rabbeinu started crying, shouted, and he says, Me'or misois v'lekina achas. I prefer to die 100 deaths and not be jealous once. Va'atzavenu, if you look in the potter, va'atzavenu is loshen yochid. In other words, I'm going to give a tzivui to Yeshua, not to you. That is what the parasha carries on. The parasha says, Va'yoyimah Hashem Moshe, if that's the case, you want to die? Fine. Hincha Shoichev im Avisecha. You will die. Rabbi Yisai, who are we dealing with? We're dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he want to go into Eretz Yisrael for? He davened ve'eschanon, tof kuf tesvav, 550 tefillos, for what? To go into Eretz Yisrael, to keep the mitzvahs. To keep the mitzvahs. So what? He has one kinah. So what? He's jealous. And it hurts him. His Talmud, Yeshua, the Heilige Yeshua, has now become the king. So he's jealous. So there's a bit of pain. But it's a pain of being jealous. The price that it's not worth paying in order to go into Eretz Yisrael and become the, and do the mitzvahs. You know, people, there's a famous maaser of Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav used to go and visit an elderly woman in the Shechunas, the old Shechunas in Yerushalayim, in Chof Tzefania. And he came in, and this woman asked the Brisker Rav for bracha, that she should have a richas yomim tovim, she should live a long life. So the Brisker Rav said to her, why do you want to have a long life? Why? Nebuch, you're ill, you haven't got family. Why do you want to have a long life? What quality of life do you have? She said, once a week I have a nurse who comes to clean me. Nebuch, I'm incontinent. And once a week, a nurse comes, and then I'm clean. And on that once a week, I can make a bracha, al pi halacha. And it's worthwhile living a long life, with all the tzoros, and with all the pain, and with all the discomfort, that once a week, I can make a bracha, according to halacha. Give me arichas yomim. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And there's bikurim, and there's trumas, and there's maestros. And there's Orla, and there's all these wonderful things. So he's got a bit of kin of Yeshua up there sitting in Mizrach. Is it that bad? He wants to die 100 times because of that? Says Achenach Lebowitz, The Chas V'Shalom, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about the tsar, the pain of kinah. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about the avera of kinah. The avera of kinah. That if I have any kinah to Yeshua, there's an avera there. I'm not allowed to, Chas V'Shalom. I prefer to die rather than to have that pain. Now Rabbi Yisai, what kind of kinah is there? What kind of kinah is there? The Gemara says that there's a few things a person, the kinah doesn't apply. One is a Rebbe to a Talmud. If a Rebbe takes a Talmud and gives him the education, and eventually the Talmud becomes greater than the Rebbe only sits back with nachas. Ah, Baruch Hashem. It's not a challenge to him. Adarabba, it's a success. It's another feather in his hat. They've got a Talmud who can become greater than him. It's a fantastic thing. Don't become jealous of your Talmud. Yeshua was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, no greater Talmud ever. And now he's taken over Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a kinah over there. And if there is a kinah, work on it. And because of that, it's not worthwhile going to Eretz Yisrael. The teretz is that Moshe Rabbeinu believed that however much I work on it, and however much I don't have the kinah, deep down, it's poshut, not worth the price, in case I do have the smallest amount of kinah. Because if that kinah is a kinah that's awesome, it's not worthwhile keeping all the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael for that little tiny bit of kinah. Moshe Rabbeinu saw how a little bit of kinah triggered off a smallest emotion in him, and he said, Rabbeinu Shalom, let me die. It's not worth it. It's poshut, not worth it. I don't want to live if I have the one smallest chet. Aye! It's a small price to pay. Look at all the fantastic mitzvahs you're going to get. It's not worth it. The end does not justify the means. Moshe Rabbeinu going to Eretz Yisrael with a little bit of kinah is posh and not worth it. He could have asked himself 500 times, but it's worth it with the mitzvahs, and I can be mechazek Klal Yisrael, and I'll help him, and I'll work on myself. No. One has to look into the deepest, darkest corners of ourselves. Now is the time. And look into ourselves and find out what is motivating us. And if the motivation is wrong, it's awesome. Hu Adin, the same thing we find somewhere else, a beautiful, beautiful piece here as well. The Pasuk says later on, Perik Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chof Aleph, Ki Yedati Es Yitzrei, I know your Yetzer, Asher Hu Oisa Hayoim, that I've made for you today, Beterem Evienu El Ha'oris Asher Nishbati, before I bring you into the land that I made I promised to bring you into.
Sorry, pardon me.
Lamed Aleph Chof Aleph. Yeah. And then the pasuk carries on. The pasuk says, Pasuk Chof. I'll bring you into the land, Asher Nishbati La'avos, I promised to your forefathers, Zavos Chol V'Dvosh, V'Ochal V'Sav V'Doshe, and you'll eat and be satisfied upon Elohim Achirim, and you'll start serving V'Yidah Zorah, V'Avodun, V'Niatsuni V'Hefes Brisi, and I will be made for my bris. I'll take back my bris. I'll be angry and take back my bris. V'Hoyo Kisim Sena Oiseros Rabbis V'Tzoros, and all these bad things will happen to you, V'Onsa Shira Zayzifon of La'ed, Kiyadati, because I know this is going to happen to you, Es Yitzre Asher Oisa Hayoyim B'Terem Evi'ena L'Oris Hashem Shbati, because it's happened before. Says the Ramban, what happened if Klal Yisrael had not done any Averis beforehand? Would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have said, I know that you're going to do Averis when you come to Eretz Yisrael? Says the Ramban, he wouldn't have. Because Klal Yisrael did Averis beforehand, you have a track record, I'm just warning you that unless you're careful, you're going to carry on with your track record. But says the Ramban, if Klal Yisrael had not done Averis beforehand, then he would not have said, I know you're going to sin. Why not? Says the Ramban, because it would be a busha for Klal Yisrael. It would be too harsh to say, I know you're going to sin if they've not yet sinned. If they've already done Averis, okay. Kosh Baruch Hu says, you know, you've got a weakness, strengthen yourself. But if they have not yet done Averis, to come along and say you will do Averis, that is too harsh. Ask of Chenoch Leibowitz again. What is wrong with that? He's not doing it because he's letting off anger. He's doing it to warn Klal Yisrael. is telling them that if you're not careful, you're going to sin in the future. If you know, that's mankind. That's so. Why is it that Kosh Baruch Hu said, "No, I can't say to them only if they sinned in the past. Give them Musa, wake them up, warn them for the future." The Teretz says Ramban because it's not covered for Klal Yisrael. So what is not covered? Why doesn't the end justify the means? Why doesn't the end of ultimately coming through with a stronger Klal Yisrael, with them being aware of their weaknesses and faults, with a Kodesh Baruch Hu saying to them, "Listen, you know, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve now to be spoken to harshly. But I'm telling you now, and the end will be worth your while." Why don't the ends justify the means? The Teretz is because ends don't justify means. If Klal Yisrael at that stage did not deserve to hear anything harsh, you have no right to say anything harsh, even though the ends will be great. How many times do Yodim or Belo Yodim, we go along and we go through life and we honestly believe that we're doing the right thing, and if we look into ourselves, Belo Yodim, we look into ourselves, the Lo Yodim part of us, we see how many times we justify ourselves and we say, you know, this person deserves it because eventually, you know, no, right now, is it the right thing to do right now? He warns in Kiruv. He warns very strongly in Kiruv. He says people go out to the Kiruv and often, without Das Torah, often there's an element there of ends justifying means. Now if I eat with this person in this substandard restaurant, I'll be able to be mekarev with my uncles and cousins, and by doing so, you know, Ezra Hashem will keep Torah mitzvahs. Are you allowed to go into a restaurant that's substandard? Sitting there, dressed the way you're dressed, looking the way you look, people rely upon you. Do you have a right to be there? You have to ask a shayla. I don't know, but you got to ask. Coming along and saying, "But look at the ends. Family be coming from Be'ez Hashem, I'll be able to be makar of them." First of all, who knows you can be makar of, but let's say you can. The ends do not justify means. You have no right to go against the word of a Kodesh Baruch Hu right now. If it's mutter, it's mutter. If it's osa, it's osa. If it's recommended, it's good. If not, ubacharta b'chaim, right now, choose life right now. Don't look what the ends are going to be. And this is what the parasha is telling us. Rosh Hashanah is all about b'charta b'chaim. It's all about choosing life. It's all about getting the motivation to become great. But we have to look in ourselves with a new maturity every year. And with what we've learned in the last year through life experiences, through looking around how the world falls apart, but looking around how our friends have grown, and we may not have grown as much as them. To look around on the secular world, how far they are falling year by year, and what's keeping us only as a Torah. We have to come to a conclusion that we cannot be the same next year. We cannot be the same with more knowledge and be the same a little bit better. We have to start identifying and looking into ourselves. Why are we doing certain things? Why is it? Is it laziness? Is it lack of motivation? Is it lack of memunah betochen? Why is it we're doing what we're doing? Let's not try and just cover things up. Ubacharta b'chaim means make the choice. The choice is something very, very unclear. But we have to be able to identify that truth. Chaim Kaufman, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, used to say the world is. He gave a very sharp moshel. He said whenever he said this moshel to ladies, he'd apologize. But he said to men, they can take this moshel. He says sometimes we see life as chaim when it's real mavis. He brought a moshel of a dog. One very, very strong moshel. I'm not sure. I think it means the chofetz chaim. I'm not sure. I think it's from the chofetz chaim. He said a dog, you know, likes to chew on a bone. So he's got this big dog, and he's walking down the street and he sees this bone lying in the middle of the street. So he drags it to the side of the road and he starts biting into this bone. But the bone is a dry bone. Didn't have much juice. But wasn't going to give up. He wants that juice. He wants that bone. And he starts biting and biting and chewing and chewing and biting. And eventually, yigato umatsoso taimin. You work, you invest, you get the results. And this sweet juice starts coming out of this bone. What is it? He's biting so much that his gum started to bleed. His gum started to bleed. And he so enjoyed the blood on this bone. He was sucking up his own blood. And as he was eating the blood, it tasted so delicious, and he bit more, and he bit more, and he started drinking more blood, until there's blood gushing out of this bone, and he's lapping it up. And people saw his dog going crazy, eating up his own, eating this bone with juicy bone, enjoying himself. And eventually, the dog bled to death. So how many people go through life chewing on their own bones? You run, and you chase, and you fight, and you get what you want in Gashmias, and this Avera, and that Avera, and you, oh, they're living it up! And the end of the day, they're chewing themselves to death. Ubecharta b'chayim means, when you see a dry bone, look into it, see if it's worthwhile. Ubecharta b'chayim, if it's worthwhile, fine, if not, leave it. Avera is not worth it. Don't chew yourself to death. This is this week's parasha. This week's parasha is the parasha of tshuva, of identifying who we really are, working on ourselves in a way that's going to be identifying the lo yodim. The yodim, already know. The lo yodim. Identify our motives. Nach b'sod d'rakeinu v'nach kleira. Look into your ways v'nach kleira. Make a chakira. Make a very deep, calculated calculations. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? And by doing so, we're able to identify who we are, what we should be doing, realizing that ends are not the means do not justify the ends. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. And be'ezras Hashem, we should be able to identify the chaim over the moves, and we should have the bracha and chas v'shalom of the klala.
Amen.